And now, coming to you nearly live from deep within a mine shaft underneath Gold Hill, Nevada in Story County, it's the Storyteller Podcast.
Hey, welcome everybody. This is your host, Sam Toll, and I am delighted to be with you here today, recording this on August 9th, 2018. Today we're going to play an episode of the Sheriff Jerry and Friends show. We're going to rebroadcast that at the end of my monologue here. Sheriff Jerry, Gerald Antonoro, Angela Mann, former owner of the Comstock Chronicle, and I discuss free press and the role of the press, the fourth pillar of the United States government, as our founding fathers called it. We talk about the different impacts and direction that the press has gone today. But after we recorded it earlier this week, a number of platforms, technology platforms, including YouTube, Facebook, Apple, and others, made a decision to shut down the news channel InfoWars, which has been produced by Alex Jones for the last, I don't know if it's been a decade or not, but certainly 6, 7, 8 years. Alex Jones is a very interesting guy, without a doubt. He's provocative. He's unconventional, and some of his stuff is pretty amazing, interesting to watch. However, these tech giants took it upon themselves to determine or decide that his mantra and the data or the I'm sorry the content that he produces these days is hateful. They've called it hate speech, and they collectively took it upon themselves to censor Alex Jones from their channels. Now, on one hand, platforms that these tech giants have built, largely on revenue they've garnered from advertisers who've advertised on popular channels, much like the ones Alex Jones operates, are private companies. They're able to do and operate at the discretion of their board, typically, and their shareholders, pretty much what they want. And since they own their platforms, on one hand, there's no question that, they're able to make decisions about the content that appears on their platforms. On the other hand, the platforms they operate have become, over time, for better or perhaps much more worse, the equivalent of a virtual public square. Back in the day, here in Virginia City, we had different corners of C Street where people, I'm certain, were able to stand on their soapbox and cry to the town about issues of the day. Certainly, in its heyday, Virginia City and Gold Hill had perhaps as many as a dozen newspapers and different outlets where people could read about what was going on. Today, many of the traditional media outlets have been supplanted by these tech giants and the platforms that they operate. So for them to collectively get together and decide amongst themselves that the speech of Alex Jones and his InfoWars is indeed hateful represents, in my mind, a chilling turn for the worse in our country's, history, direction, whatever you want to call it. I think that the notion of free speech is one that goes back, to the Greeks and the, even before that, to the roots of mankind itself. And it's critical to recognize and appreciate the fact that even the most ugly and unpopular sentiment, message, or utterance by a fellow human being should be protected. And, when we start to censor what we or they or someone collectively decides is offensive, hateful, or even inappropriate, we begin to walk down the road that Joseph Goebbels and Adolf Hitler did in the early 30s when the Nazi party came to power in Germany. we begin to walk down the path that George Orwell predicted we may walk down, that folks who have predicted dystopia and the fall of our republic have written about in the past. It's chilling to me. It's a great concern to me. And as you know, I am being sued for exercising my right to free speech. So it's an interesting challenge that we're up against, and I hope that informed and intelligent people who occupy here in Story County, here in Nevada, and across this great and wonderful country, will recognize this for what it is, and that is an affront on our republic, an affront on our freedoms, and something that we should collectively stand up against. So without any further ado, this is now a recording made last week with Gerald Antonoro, Angela Mann, and myself on the Sheriff Jerry and Friends.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Sheriff Jerry and Friends, and I am Story County Sheriff Gerald Antonoro. If you'd like to get involved with today's show, whether you're listening on 1180 AM KCKQ, a Lotus radio signal, or online at americamatters.us and click on the Listen Live button, you can call toll-free at 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255, toll-free anywhere in the world. We're going to start today's show off with a little bit of bad news. Hate to break it, but one of my deputies, his children were involved in a motor vehicle crash in the past week, and they're struggling to recoup and recover, and don't know exactly where they are in the process right now. As of yesterday, I know they were still pending some surgeries. Pretty bad shape, pretty rough shape up in Oregon. Our prayers and thoughts go out to the deputy and family, and anybody who is in a position to help out, please go to the Story County Sheriff's Office Facebook page. GoFundMe account has been set up to help the family with medical bills and related expenses. Jonathan and Caitlin were praying for them. They had a stepsister who was actually killed in the motor vehicle crash, so we hope that we can get a lot of people to help out in their time of need. So we'll move on to the show, and my first friend today is none other than the storyteller himself, Sam Toll. Listeners know Sam from his blog and from having been on the show with us several times. Welcome back, Sam. It is always a pleasure.
Jerry, thanks for having me. It's a wonderful, nice, warm day today here in lovely Reno, Nevada.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be cooling down a whole lot out there. We are privileged today to also have our friend Angela Mann joining us. Angela has been in a newspaper reporting news game for a goodly amount of time. I won't try to quantify that. If she wants to, she can. But she's worked for the Oakland Tribune, the Sparks Tribune, the RGJ, and most recently, the owner, editor, author, and bottle washer at the Comstock Chronicle up until a few years ago when she hung up her pens and now is enjoying the grandness of retirement. Welcome, Angela. We are glad to have you.
Thank you. That was 46 years total, so
well, I
put a number to it.
I wasn't going to, but you're welcome to, so we are glad to have you. You know, every program that we have done since this started many weeks ago, I can't remember how many now, we've pretty much taken a political angle and bashed on politicians, bashed on the political process, things of that nature. And, you know, you get tired about talking about politics. So we're not going to talk too much. It might touch, it has a bleed over effect. We all know that. But we're going to take a little bit different angle today. And with the two of you and your backgrounds in media reporting, I forget the word, journalism. That's it, journalism. You know, that's the angle we're going to go today. So, you know, it started, this idea came to me last Sunday. I'm actually sitting in church listening to one of our pastors lamenting about the difficulties that millennials face. And he's clicking off different things. And don't get me wrong, our pastors are great, and his message was great. It was all about, you know, I just lost my train of thought. tolerance and understanding. There we go. That's what his message was about. And you know, there's been a lot of criticism of the millennials and everything. And he's ticking off the different things that the millennials have had to deal with. The wars, the ups and downs in the economy, you know, the political swings back and forth. And I'm thinking to myself while he's going over this that this is hogwash. Because every generation has. I'm clicking off the greatest generation that helped to deal with World War II, and we have the Vietnam era and the Korean era that kind of gets missed out in between the two of them. And, you know, we've had booms and busts and ups and downs in the economy. So, you know, all of the things that he was clicking off, my generation has dealt with. I'm sure, Angela, yours has dealt with. You know, every generation deals with these types of things. But what did stand out to me, one thing that he said, and what brings us to this point today, is the instant access to anything in the world. The World Wide Web, the Internet, while it's been around for a while, you know, it's now ingrained into every fiber of our being. And that is where the issues arise, as I see them, is that instant access to anything and everything. You know, even some of the businesses have played on this. You know, there's one commercial, I think it's one of the dating sites or something, that says, oh, it's on the Internet, it must be true. And that's where the problem comes in, is the newer generation, the newest generation. I know us older folks are still trying to play catch up in large part, trying to figure out how all this stuff works, how we get into the middle of it, how we find what we're looking for. These guys, the kids nowadays, the millennials, it's like it's inbred into them. They know exactly what buttons to push in what sequence. They can do it before I can even get my phone out of the holder, you know. But there's no discernment. It's everything is out there for the taking, and it must be real because there it is. Why would it be there if it wasn't real? You know, it's information overload, and the media doesn't seem to be doing a whole lot to try and shape that any. It's just there, and without that ability to discern fact, fiction, or at least dig a little deeper to get to the truth of things, we have turned society into a soup sandwich, if I may be so bold. But with that, we have to go into our first break. I've used up the entire first block. We're going to be back in just a second. We're going to pick up where we left off, talking about the media. We will see you in just a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. And before going into the break, we were talking about the millennials and their instant access to everything. And, you know, the media has really jumped on top of this, whether it's print, a lot of the radios, matter of fact, in my opinion, at least there's a little bit more, it seems like, in radio, at least in my experience with the local outlets. They do dig a little bit deeper, but still they're time limited, so you're still getting just little snippets here and there. Television is off the charts in my book. Those guys and the print media are really just way out there. You know, whether they're chasing their ratings or you know, their own personal biases, or just flat out pursuit of the almighty dollar. guys, you've been in this field. Sam, you know, you've been around it for a long time. Your dad previously ran the newspaper, what, the Territorial Enterprise, wasn't it?
Close, it's Gold Hill News.
Gold Hill News, that's what it was. I know David's not quite that old, but Angela, you've been around the block a time or two, worked for big papers, had your own small paper. What is up with the media?
Well, I'm going to jump in here and say I thought about it a little bit. I thought about it a little bit since we talked a couple of days ago. And I put my finger where a lot of the things started to go off the rails. The lack of respect was all the way back when Dan Rather was still a reporter. And he challenged Richard Nixon in a press conference. I don't think you're old enough to remember that. You certainly aren't. But that is when things started to change. Because, frankly, there's become a lack of respect for the institutions that we support and have supported for, what, 250 or more years. Now, fast forward, and I want to say that, you know, the old lions of the media, the ones that people remember from 30 and 40 years ago, let's face it, these people are gone and dead. The old-timers will remember the Catherine Grahams and the Ben Bradleys, the Hearst family, and even Al Newhart, who had certainly had a presence here in Reno with Gannett. They're all dead now. They're all dead now. In the good old days, you had to actually do some work. There wasn't the instantaneous gratification like you were talking about. I mean, you actually had to get up and leave your desk and get in your car and travel to City Hall or the police department and do your job and actually talk to people face to face and get information. Now, it's all on Google. Obviously, there's leaks all over the place. And people in the media, the management actually allows you to publish stories, and there's no sourcing. It's anonymous. Well, who is anonymous?
Well, unfortunately, at least in my experience over the 30-some-odd years that I've been in law enforcement and having to deal with media in a professional sense, it seems like even the flavor of the reporters have changed. You know, I remember media back in Utah when I was over there, on the other side of the state when I was there, even some of the local media outlets that, you know, Angela, you call me up, you're going to do a story, and I'll say, okay, well, I can't tell you all of it. Let me give you some background stuff off the record, and then we can talk about what you're going to do with your story. There used to be some semblance of honor in that. Now, I would be afraid to have a conversation with somebody off the record because I don't think that anything is off the record with media anymore. So those relationships are really deteriorating, and
they're broken.
I don't know.
They're broken, and it has become a slow evolution of the lack of respect for anything and everybody in authority. You know, the older people will still respect a policeman, will respect a pastor in a church, will respect those old institutions that when we were growing up, those were the people that you were supposed to be able to trust. Now it's gone off the rails. People don't trust, they don't respect. Let's face it, the media these days seems to have its own agenda, and it always comes back to a gotcha.
Well, and I would definitely have to agree with that. And I had just, you know, one of the stories I tell about, at least in my existence, you know, a big turning point in my view of the media happened on 9/11. I was sitting there watching the news as it happened. The first plane had already hit the first tower, and I don't know which station it was that was reporting, but the guy is standing there, microphone in hand. They're filming live. They had interrupted all of the stations, you know, the regular programming, and the guy is going on about the plane. Of course, they don't know anything about it. They don't realize that it's been a passenger jet. You know, he's pontificating that it may be a Cessna or something like that. And while the world is sitting there watching this happen, you see the other jet circling around
yes.
and hitting the second tower. And everybody who's watching this live broadcast is seeing this happen. The reporter has got his back to it, hears the explosion, doesn't realize that it was the second plane hitting the second tower, but just goes off on this diatribe about things exploding, things like that. Basically, he's making up the news when all he had to do was turn around to actually see what happened. And that right there clicked a switch in my mind that they don't care.
I understand. I watched the same thing that you did. After the first tower had been hit and those firemen were climbing up the stairs, I'm thinking about how are they going to drag a hose up 102 floors? Who knew that both of these airplanes had been weaponized? And making it up, time to fill. What am I going to say?
Yeah. Sam, you've been sitting there kind of quiet. We're going to drag you into this, whether you like it or not. You, Angela's more of a traditional medium with her history. You're more bloggy, internet-based, in-your-face, some of the stuff that we're talking about that, in large part, is part of the problem. But now, that being said, I'm not saying you are part of the problem. I've read your stuff. There's lots of satire. There's some very pointed jabs. But I know for a fact from dealing with you that you're out there doing the research, and it's just the presentation that you use that is pokey.
Well, yeah, no, I don't hold back, and I do use language that is not customary in traditional print. You know, I did grow up in Gold Hill watching my dad produce a newspaper in our front room. And one of the things that was very interesting to me, you know, it's a time-consuming, labor-intensive process doing a newspaper back in the 70s before the computers came out. In fact, my career was launched because of that experience, which will be another story for another day. But the notion that... and with all due respect to Angela, you know, the antagonistic nature and the lack of respect that you refer to certainly is, you know, out there in the media. And a lot of folks, you know, I look at Alex Jones and occasionally, I don't look at Alex all the time, but I do catch all kinds of different media and consume different sources so that I can be well-read and well-rounded. But the notion that that there is a, you know, a healthy confrontational existence between, you know, the folks who run things and the folks who are, you know, are going to work every day and earning a paycheck so that they can pay their taxes to keep those people in business, I think needs to exist. I remember watching Helen Thomas, a longtime White House correspondent, and she was, you know, very respectful, but at the same time, she had very tough questions. And when she wasn't satisfied with the answers that she got from the president's spokesperson, she followed up with even tougher questions. I'm inspired by guys like Woodward and Bernstein, who, you know, broke the Watergate story. I don't try and always, you know, look for the bad things to talk about. But when I see shenanigans and monkey business going on, I can't sit still and sit on my hands. And so I assume that position of confrontationalism, saying, hey, what's going on here? What, you know, why is it that you're making this decision? How come you think it's okay to spend money this way? What led you to decide that this was a good thing? And how is it that you think this is in the best interest of everybody? And so while that's, you know, I don't know if confrontational is the right word. I still try and come at it with respect. So I think that healthy chaos and conflict that exists with the press and the government, let's say, or the people in charge or decision makers, I think is healthy. And that's part of what, you know, how I operate.
Well, I don't think anybody has an issue with, at least I don't have an issue with the hard questions being asked. What I have an issue with, And where I see the deterioration coming from is that on the basis of no facts, or, you know, just somebody said something, so it must be true, or I saw it on the internet, so it must be true. And without even doing, you know, hey, if you've got something that you've done some research on and it is a legitimate issue, by all means, by golly, go ask those hard questions and demand those answers. And if it becomes antagonistic or confrontational, then so be it. But at least have something to talk about rather than just some made-up thing. So we're going to leave it right there. We've got to go to another break. Time flies when you're having fun. But I want to pick that up with a phone call I had just this morning from a media person. So, folks, you are listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. Remember, you can call us from anywhere in the world toll-free at 844-790-8255. And we will be back in just a moment picking up where we left off. See you in a second. Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to Sheriff Jerry and Friends. And just before we went on to the break, we were talking about the lack of follow-up, or lack of even looking into the basics before the media starts reporting on stuff. And, you know, Story County, lots of stuff going on in the county, lots of growth, big businesses, and it seems to be, you know, just about any day of the week, you can pick up the newspaper, turn on the television, jump on the internet, and you're going to find something about Story County. One of the latest things that it started up several weeks ago, and it's still playing out today, I got a phone call just this morning about this issue with Tesla and a former employee. And, you know, I guess this is just symbolic of what it is that we're talking about. When my office first got called to the situation at Tesla, we responded, we're handling it according to the means and manners that we handle all calls. But Tesla's position, they wanted to know if we were going to say anything, not, you know, wanting to be very careful about what we say. They, you know, they want to control the news media as far as how this is demonstrated. Well, we know that Musk and this particular employee are battling back and forth in a lawsuit, or countersuing each other, whatever the case may be. Well, now the attorney for this former employee, he's trying to do the same thing. He's trying to control the media. He's putting things out faster than Tesla does about all of the evils. And now, of course, now it's my office is the problem. I mean, we've, you know, emails and phone calls, I mean, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times a day, you know, and, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? You know, you need to do this. You need to do that. So I've got the Tesla folks on one side telling me what to do, and I've got this attorney who's on the other side of the country on the other side telling me what to do, and in the middle, the media is just eating up whatever they're told by, whether it's Tesla or whether it's by this attorney. And the phone call I get this morning was based on an email that this attorney had sent out. And, you know, their attitude, and I'll give the young man credit. He did a fairly good job, but there was one point in there that he says, well, aren't you going to follow up on this like this guy wants? Well, that's automatically assuming that this guy, the attorney, has a valid point. He does not have a valid point. And that is, I guess, where I'm going. It's a long way around, a scenic route to get to the point that, you know, if you tell something to the media, they assume that it's a fact. And, you know, we were talking during the break about some of the stuff that has been thrown out there. Guys, in your reporting, Sam, I know that I know what you do, having dealt with you. Angela, having worked with you for many years, I know what it is that you do, but
did.
Professional did. Yeah. What you did, correct. We're not going to pull you back into this. but, you know, is this how you would put together a story? How are you, I mean, are you so pressed for deadlines and headlines that you don't even have a few minutes to actually look into the facts of something before you start blurting it out there?
Well, during those last 8 years when I did have the newspaper in Story County, it was a weekly, so there was time to breathe after you hit the button for this week's edition. Something would come into the office, and you really just have to sit there and read it over maybe two or three times and try to determine and think critically. What's the timeline on this? I mean, I had multiple stories in various situations up there in Virginia City, and you have to just sit there and put together a timeline, even if it's in your own mind. You have to take a look at the calendar. You have to start counting on your fingers of how many years ago was that, and just see where the credibility is. You know, there's something else too, is you said you've had Tesla on one side, you've had an attorney on the other. What's their credibility? I mean, how many times do they keep coming back to the well? How many times are you going to write a story and ask questions and such? And then, after the story is published, you find out you were lied to. You were, you know, what is the credibility on the other side of the fence?
Well, I guess that's one of the things that really stands out to me, is especially as it relates to my field, you know, on a fairly regular basis, you see officers involved in this shooting, or there was a chase over here, or there was this, there was that, there was the other. You know, there's one I saw on the television news just the other day, a shooting of a fellow, I can't remember where it was, somewhere maybe in the Midwest area, and they're bashing the cops. They want us to have these body cameras. We throw this stuff out, and they immediately want the cops held responsible, crucified, executed, whatever the case may be, only to find out some weeks later that, oh, wait, it was a justified shooting. Or any number of things that, just like with the 9/11 thing, you just start blurting stuff out there only to find out, whether it's minutes or months later, that's not the fact, and the facts were right there available the whole time. One of the things that has come up on the program before that's been talked about is some of the stuff with Story County, without dwelling off into the politics of stuff. I've held out to Olive Branch lots of times and said, hey, I've got this information. You can get it through a public records request. The only person who's ever requested that information, that background information, that are legitimate police reports that are sitting there for the taking, is the storyteller here.
Well, you know, it's really interesting in hearing you both talk about the lack of research and that sort of thing. In the newsroom, there's a saying, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. And there's this anxiety for advertising dollars and for clickbait on the internet sites for, you know, sensational stuff to go through. And because there's a lack of actual manpower or woman power out there to do the heavy lifting and do the research and take a few minutes to comb through some stuff and see what's real and what isn't, a lot of times, you know, you get the whole, hey, the Huffington Post is reporting that Bloomberg News is reporting that the New York Times is reporting that, you know, the London Times has a piece on something that's sensational, and none of those people are actually doing any actual research. Angela, as you know, it takes time. It's hard work. You don't always get what you want. You have to dig through lots of documents and papers, and sometimes you get all the way to the end and realize that what story you thought you had, you don't actually have a story, and it's really not credible or relevant or what you thought it was, and you have to, you know, put all that stuff in the shredder. And so,
but now it seems like they take that, they do, if they do any research, find out they don't have a story, then they make one out of
right,
it.
Right, right. Yeah, they've got an axe to grind, and so they're going to grind it on someone's neck no matter what. And that's frustrating because, you know, we're trying to do a job that deserves respect and that is credible and that informs people in a way that, you know, helps them navigate through this crazy world. And it's frustrating sometimes when you see, you know, just overt obfuscation, you know, trying to hide things and not being forthwith. I mean, I was one of our county officials in a deposition that I was in for the lawsuit I'm in, you know, was asked the question, hey, do you, you know, does Mr. Toll ask questions and request public record information? And the county official said, yes, he does ask questions and he does request information. Do you provide the public records request information? Yes, I do. Do you answer his questions?
No, I don't. And so it can be pretty frustrating, but the when you're trying to reveal the facts and put them out there so that people can make informed decisions, it's not an easy job, and that's probably why so few people are in it, and even fewer are good at it.
Well, you know, years ago in my undergraduate times, I had a political science teacher tell me he cautioned us all about our sources of information. And he said, make sure you're looking at it from all the angles. And, you know, I'm probably on an FBI watch list because I will go to, Mideastern publications that are online and read them. And, I may be seen as some kind of a jihadist sympathizer. But, I know from my own experiences, I've picked up some books while I was traveling abroad in Italy, and you read the Italian version of World War II and the circumstances that led up to it. It's very different than the American version, what we're taught in the schools. And I'm not saying one side is right, one side is wrong, one's colored, one's not, but if you know all the different factors, if you know both sides of an issue, if you're getting the multiple perspectives, then you can apply some critical thinking and we all heard the saying that, every argument has two sides and the truth is somewhere in the middle. Well, if you're only looking at what one side is telling you and you're not looking at all of it, then you're left in the dark, or you're talking out of school and you really don't know what it is you're talking about. We got about a minute left before we go to a break. Angela, you look like you have something to say.
Well, when Sam was talking there, a couple of thoughts come to mind, and that is, number one, in the old days, newspapers actually had libraries or morgues. I spent 11 and a half years at the Oakland paper in those days. I mean, the library, the morgue at the Oakland Tribune was bigger than the building that you reside in on C Street these days. It was that big.
So you had a research facility basically at your disposal.
Yes, and it was clips from 100 years. However long that newspaper had been in publication, everything that they had ever printed was at a reporter's fingertips, as well as the photos that accompanied that.
And you didn't have the internet to help you out with it, so amazing that was actually done at one point in time. But we have to go to a break. We will pick this up in just a moment when we come back on the other side for our last segment. Stay tuned. Bound to be interesting. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are in our last segment. Where does the time go? It's just amazing how quickly it goes by. During the break, Angela, you made the comment that in some ways it feels like you're living in the past. And I find myself thinking that same thing. I used to think when I was a youngster, listening to these old guys talk, and they've done this and they've been here and they've done that. And these were old guys that, 40, 50 years old. Of course, I'm a teenager at the time.
They were old.
Now I are one of them, so I understand exactly where you're coming from. And, Sam touched on, you both touched on it, the credibility factor. And I grew up maybe with the false belief that, the media actually went out there and found the facts and presented it. And there was a comment that we talked about where a lot of people in the world, we get so wrapped up in our own little worlds, we really don't understand how a lot of things work. We may know what affects us. We know what we need to do. I was surprised when I first got elected to office to find out how little people actually know about government and how it works. So I've spent a lot of my time trying to educate people as it relates to government. But I had this notion that the media types were actually going out there digging through the mud and the muck and trying to find facts so that me, the average Joe on the street, could actually be informed. Of course, such is not the case, and it's really not the case with the advent of the internet. Sam, you're
Well, yeah, no, it's funny because I wrote an opinion piece on Sunday about the free press and the, you know, the danger that it's in. When as in the last 20 years, you look at the landscape of the media, and more independent news sources have been consumed and absorbed by corporate entities, by big business. And back to Angela's point about lack of respect, there's actually been this shift, in my opinion, in a lot of cases, for the press to be actually little puppy dogs and cute little kittens as far as asking tough questions and being, as I alluded to earlier, you know, confrontational and adversarial, because they operate in a world where they have to have the permission of the government entities in charge on a corporate level. The owners of the media companies are answering to folks. You know, you look at Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, signed a contract for $600 million to provide storage and cloud services to the CIA, and then he went out and bought the Washington Post. And so, you know, is there a relationship where the CIA now gets to use the Post as an influential mouthpiece? You know, the question, you know, I look at Julian Assange, who is about to be thrown out of his little hiding in the Ecuadorian embassy in Britain, and is going to serve, you know, trial or be taken to account for leaking information that has been pivotal in understanding how the things work in the background. And so, you know, as the corporate media is more and more conglomerated and becomes more and more of a mouthpiece to the establishment, it's folks like Angela and myself and other people who operate independently, who rely on donations and other kinds of clever ways to make money to do their work, that the tough stories are being investigated and told. And so it's a really remarkably changing landscape, one far different from the ones that our founding fathers envisioned, where they referred to the free press as the fourth pillar of government.
What am I going to say about that?
Well, yeah, Sam always provides this unique take. It makes me rethink things a little bit, but it still hasn't changed my thought that there's some responsibility that the media has, especially if they are feeding false information.
If you want to talk about the founding fathers, I would recommend a David McCullough book that's been out for a number of years now, that it's on John Adams. And unfortunately, an awful lot of the things that John Adams was facing in the late 1700s and early 1800s, because of course that's when he was still alive, there's so many things that mirror what is going on today. Now, what was the last thing you said?
Oh, just as far as the professionalism and the integrity and making sure that they actually get something straight.
I think there's always been rascals out there in the journalism profession as far as that goes. It's really a sad commentary, like you were saying, Sam, about how everything is just being bought up. But, you know, and then the linkage between, you know, CIA and, you know, cloud memory in the cloud, and the fact that here you've got the world's richest man, you know, controlling and sending out, having the resources to send out, you know, multiple reporters every day to hammer on the same subject. You can guess who I'm talking about. We did not see that. We also see such an extreme bias these days of how people are not treated equally.
Well, and that's one of the things that sticks in my craw, I guess, is that, you know, if you are a conglomerate, or if you do have lots of money, or you have a big name or whatever, it seems like that's, you get first, second, third bite of the apple. And if you're just the little guy, or if you're somebody that, you know, we can kick around, you can't do anything about it, then, you know, you're stuck with wherever you fall.
Or Stonewall.
Exactly.
Or Stonewall.
Yes, or stonewalled by those big same people who they're the ones that are running the things.
You know, they're the gatekeepers of the information, and so if their favorite son or daughter is the appointed or anointed one, that, you know, they'll cover them when they, you know, bend over to pick a flower or kiss a dog. And yet when their opponent is trying to, you know, accomplish something or putting out a message that is genuine and real, they won't give them the time of day. They'll put them on ignore mode and stonewall them. Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm also going to offer, and this goes to both sides of the aisle, if you want a real eye-opener these days, read Peter Schweitzer's book on secret empires. You're nodding your head. Have you read it?
I've read reviews on it. Yeah.
All you can do is shake your head, and I mean, it's both Republicans and Democrats, and how they are manipulating the entire establishment section. I mean,
well, and maybe that's a good place to wrap it up right there. Is that it is just the manipulation that's going on, and we can point to political parties, we can point to big money people, politicians, whoever you want to, but that's just it. There is so much manipulation, and with people not using a little bit of discernment in that information, you can twist the minds and hearts of people all over the place. But it isn't all entirely bad. I have had a couple of very positive experiences just recently. I had a young lady from I believe Ohio out last week researching a story. She's an independent writer, has written for a number of places, Boston Globe, New York Times, and Maya Fraser. She's doing a piece on the great state of Nevada, specifically our portion of the state here in the northwest corner, and I think a lot of her focus is going to be on the development of the industrial center. She seemed very conscientious. I'm excited to see her work once it does comes out. Hopefully it's not a disappointment. And then just the other day I was contacted by a young man with Bloomberg News, and regardless of what your impression is, I did look at the story or the piece that he ran this morning, and he did a good treatment of the subject, in my opinion, and that had to do with some of the stuff we've talked about here on the show today. So I know there are good reporters out there, not bashing all of them. I'm just the industry in general seems to be in decay, but I guess that goes right along with our politics and right along with our governance in many instances, and so much of it. And I guess that's the takeaway from all of this is somewhere along the way we need to pick up the slack. We need to get it across that people need to start employing those critical thinking skills. And I'll tell you, because we are down to just the last couple of minutes, I'm going to wrap this up with one of my favorite authors, writers, sayers, whatever you want to call him. I don't know if he actually wrote this himself, but it's attributed to him, and that's a fellow known as Marcus Aurelius. He wrote something once upon a time, or said something, that everything we hear is an opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth. And that's, try to live by that. Try to look beyond what you see on the surface. Try to dig into it a little bit to actually get to the truth, or as close to the truth as possible, before trying to form a decision. And that would be what we'd ask folks to take away. So with our wrap up, tomorrow begins hot August nights in Virginia City. Friday and Saturday is going to be full of old cars, cruises, and other related events. So come up and see us on the Comstock. It's going to be followed by a whole bunch of stuff in Reno over the next week. Next Tuesday, August 7th, between 5 and 7 p.m., we will be having National Night Out at the Louise Perry Park in Lockwood. We've got a whole bunch of folks coming to join us with lots of good information on safety, as well as information for those who want to know more about the resources and services that are available in Story County. If you're not in Story County, check your local community, see if they're participating in National Night Out. This is a great way of interacting with your local police, businesses, neighbors, building relationships, and learning more about what is going on in your neighborhoods. Angela, I know you used to come to National Night Out or Senior Awareness from time to time.
Right.
Sam, we're inviting you. Hope to see you there at the park.
We'll be there.
I want to thank our guests for being here with us today, and thank you, kind listeners. Of all the things you could have been listening to, you chose to be here with us, and for that we are grateful. So until the next time, where I'm sure we will have more exciting guests on and more exciting debate, be safe and God bless.
Okay, so that was the Sheriff Jerry and Friends show. If you made it this far, I'm very grateful that you did. I'd just like to ask you to share this show with a friend. Let folks know about what the Storyteller does. Share the website, share our Facebook page, like it if you haven't yet, and sign up for the email option on the Storyteller. You have the ability to get every post that I push the minute it gets pushed, and having it arrive in your email box the very moment it hits the streets. So with that, I want to thank you very much for listening to the Storyteller podcast, and stay tuned for another one coming up shortly on a website near you. Thank you.